for who you are, God. We thank you, God, Lord, for you invested in us, God. Hallelujah. As I stand here tonight, dear God, Lord, I'm just honored to know, dear God, Lord, that, Lord, right here in the midst, dear God, Lord, is mighty men and women of God. Hallelujah. God, Lord, I just thank you for these warriors. I thank you for these saints. I thank you, God, Lord, that just as they hear this word, I pray, dear God, just a deposit, dear God, just a release within them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Children may go to the class. Be careful, kids. No. Come on, amen. Amen. I just want to, today I know, if you don't know, that Sophia passed away today. It was a young girl from Laurel. And it's heartbreaking. It's sometimes you don't have answers for things, and sometimes we can't explain things, and that's the one thing that we have, though. We have a God that knows all things, and we trust in Him through those things, and that's what gives us peace. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us purpose and understanding, that we could trust God. And there are people that sometimes get frustrated and they kind of blame God. And I just want to say this, that this God didn't cause this. And I want everybody to remember this, that Jesus Christ, God sent His Son. I'm going to say it again. God sent His Son. Say that with me. He sent His Son that to heal the sickness and disease and to take sin from man. God would not, after He gave His Son to take it from us, put it back on us. Now, we understand that it doesn't come from that. So I want you to know that if God is for us, whatever's against us is not from God. It isn't from God. Because God is for us. So whatever's not for you, in a sense, I want you to get that, understand that what's not for you, there's things that come against us. It's not from God. You got to get that. Hear what I'm saying. Sickness and disease is not from God. Tell your neighbor it's not from God. Listen, we got to understand that He sent His Son that to heal our sickness. You say, well, then how come somebody this and that to heal? Well, I want you to know that I believe in my heart, I believe that it is the responsibility of the church to step up in a higher place of understanding, to release what they have. We are the river to be released, hallelujah, to a generation, to a people that are hurting, that are broken. We have to be at a place where that we release our faith. And you know what? There are some times in the Bible where that sometimes, you know, they would pray for somebody. Maybe somebody would be healed or somebody might not be healed at that moment, this or that. We can't ever understand all those. I've seen people healed. I've seen people completely touched by God in a moment, be delivered. But we have to trust God and know that there's a responsibility for the church to understand what we have in these earthen vessels, that what we carry, that the world is longing for. Listen, I want you to hear this and know that every one of us came together today, and every one of us are a stream from God. Hallelujah. And as we gather together, this is so powerful that if we can understand how powerful it is and important for us to gather together, because we create a river. We create something. I don't know about you, but I feel when I come in here tonight, you need to express it or just touch it or take hold of it, because something's created. What is created? It's created because you carry something. Come on, amen. It's Christ within us. There's the nature of God that you carry. You release it. And we're touched by it. We experience that. And what does it? How does it happen? It happens because you bring it into the house. Amen? It's not like it just is here. We bring it into the house. Men and women of God, you carry the presence of God. Hallelujah. You carry it. Tell your neighbor you carry it. You carry the presence of God. And the more aware we are of it, see, what causes us to stumble is because what happens is we recognize it. The wind of God is blowing behind us. Our cape is blowing. We're being used by God. You feel the presence of God. You feel God using you. And then the next minute, something comes up against you that's not for you. Come on, amen. That'll disappoint you. That'll frustrate you. That'll cause you disappointment in your life. And you feel like everything's falling apart. And we lose a sense of understanding that, listen, the same God that was with you in that moment ago is the same God right now. Come on, amen. He is the same God. Say, same God. Listen, and that's powerful. And the reason why I ask you to repeat is because you're a river. We're a river. We flow together. I don't want to just be preaching here. I want you to preach with me. Renee, go. It is hard. It's hard. And at that age, we do begin to comfort them. We console them with the understanding of looking towards God, trusting in God, in any ways that we can experience that. And you know, I want you to know that it's not even just that. It's not just preaching. It's just holding on to that child and say that life is precious. Life is valuable. And we have to honor, we have to take hold of it and honor it. But I want everybody to get this. When I was in that, and I was in that meeting yesterday, there was hundreds of people there. The stands were full. There was people all to the side. And they preached Jesus right there in that middle of that place. They preached Jesus. The superintendent, he declared Christ. And I went up to him after and I said, listen, I want you to know who I am. And I said, I want you to tell you, we're behind you. You know, whatever you need. Family Worship Center is behind you. And we'll support you. And some people have a little difference with him because he's kind of hard. But it doesn't matter. It's what he did at that moment, at that time, that I appreciate. Amen? But here's the thing that really hit me. Is I want you to know that we take the moments we have right now in this life and we recognize them as that's it. Listen, I could take a string right now and put a mark on it that's a quarter inch. And take that string and wrap it the whole way around this building hundreds of times. The only thing that you experience right here, right now, is that little bit. The rest of it's eternity. That's what He gave us. See, we measure everything on this life. 70, 80, whatever. We want to get 100 years, whatever it is. And we measure everything on that. And not realizing that with Christ, we don't just get that measure of time that you were born here on earth, but we get eternity. And the thing that we have a hard time with is losing people, and not in a selfish way, but it's not selfish, you know what I'm talking about, where that person's not there. But I want you to know, in Christ, it's eternity. And that's what He gave us. That no matter what, that even though sometimes we lose battles to sickness or diseases that we might not overcome, all right, that He did, that we might not overcome, but something He can't take from us is eternity. Your salvation. Come on, amen? That salvation you have is yours. He can't take that from you. Death has no more sting. Has no more sting. Do people die? Yes. But it has no sting because it's not forever. It's not forever. And as I sat there, that's something that I know in my heart that I'm comforted with, to know that there's eternity. That we have this precious understanding, that we get it and we know that it's so important for us to share that, to know that they know Jesus Christ is their Savior. Come on, amen. That they know Him. That they know the One who's eternal. Hallelujah. And in that relationship with Him, they embrace eternity. Hallelujah. And everything's measured in eternity after that. Not in years and in seconds. No, it's measured in eternity. Wow. Amen. But I really felt that when I was there. And I know the things that will come out of those things. See, the enemy, what the enemy has meant for evil, God will use it for glory. Amen? That God doesn't do it just to get glory. Come on. But He'll use what the enemy has tried to establish and use it, and He will use it for His glory. And that's powerful. You see that. You see all these people coming together. Hallelujah. They came together. And that touched my heart. And this is people that, yeah, there are church people, but these are people that the church should take example of and say, wow. How many could we get that many people at a prayer meeting? I'm just saying, just a prayer meeting. But until it's like up against the wall or it touches you, that's when we have it. But just think, maybe if we were pressing in, maybe some of these things, we could stop them. Come on. Maybe some of these things that are out there, and I'm not trying to, how do I say it? I'm just saying there's so many things that are out there that we go through, that we see, that are running rampant, that if the church stepped up and were who we need to be, things would be different. Come on. Yes.
Another thing that we neglect is that, you know, when God, there are various gifts in the church. I think that everyone is gifted with something, you know. And when God gives you that gift, He also gives you authority to use it. And I think that sometimes there's something that we don't get, we don't realize, we don't, you know, exercise that. I'm not saying it has relevance in the current situation with this young girl, but last week, Melissa and I were working, and she was having problems. She said she felt like this constriction in her lungs. She said, and because she had a stroke before, she was very worried about, you know, it could be a blood clot. You know, she was short of breath. She just had this, like, felt like something was there and it wasn't moving. And, you know, of course, I prayed for her, you know, saying, you know, please, God, you know, take this away. You know, please, God, heal this. And, you know, she was getting very frustrated because the day went on, she wasn't feeling any better. She wasn't feeling any better, you know. And she's like, you know, you're praying, I'm praying, and not, you know, nothing's happening. What's going on? And then I'm not going to say God spoke to me, but I got this feeling within myself that, well, you know, it's because, you know, you're not supposed to come to God begging and groveling and pleading. When He gives you a gift, He gives you the authority to use it. So I'm back, and I laid hands on her, and I said, you know, I believe that God has gifted me for the healing of the sick, for laying on hands. So I went back and I said, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I know you don't expect us to come to you begging and groveling like we don't deserve, you know, to receive anything from you. When you give us a gift, you give us the authority to use it. So by the authority that you can, not by my own power, but by the authority that you've given me, I declare that healing has taken place. That this, whatever this problem is, I don't know what it is, what's causing it, but it's done, it's healed, it's done. It's, healing is taking place right now by your authority. It's done. It's healed. And she said, after that, she started feeling better. You know, not by me, but by God, by the authority.
Yeah. See, that's exactly right. Listen. I have this, and I keep this. Your authority is up for grabs. It's up for grabs. If you don't walk in it, the authority that God gave you, the authority will do you no good if you don't use it. It's a tool. When used properly, it will produce results. However, if it is not used by you, the enemies will use it against you. The enemy is able to occupy vacant seats of authority when believers don't rise up and take their possessions in the Spirit. What's that? Yeah. See, that's it. See, there's a seat that God's given you. He said that I am seated on the right hand of the Father. He says that we have a place because of what Jesus did. He says, now I have given you a place. Jesus says, remember He says this, and sometimes people use this in sense where He's making a mansion, whatever. If I get a mansion when I get to heaven, that's great, whatever. But He's saying something more powerful for us to understand. He says that I am preparing a place. And that place means a place of authority, a seat beside the Father. Hallelujah. That I've given you a place beside the Father. That the authority that I demonstrated here wasn't for you to say, wow, He's God. No, it was for you to say, wow, that's for me to take hold of. That's for me to have. That's what He's given me, to walk in that authority in His image and likeness, to do the Father's business. Why did Jesus always say that? He says, I am about my Father's business. Now I've given you a place in the Father's business. Take your place. See, when we understand that, it's not just the pastor up front. That's what my heart is. That's where we're moving at a fast pace. Where us as a church understand that it's not just about, I'm graced for my giftings, but we begin to understand our giftings and operate them as disciples of Christ and begin to operate in them, I want you to know that we begin to pull down authorities that have taken places they shouldn't have. We've given authority to things they shouldn't have. See, I want you to know that God has the kingdom of God, hallelujah, is worked out of the church. It's worked out of the church. It's operated out of the church. The kingdom of God operated out of the church that we move in our giftings and move in our, and the authority that God's given us. And we operate in that. That we take hold of things and pull down things. Amen? So listen. Jesus said this. He says, in the last days, you always hear those words. But Jesus was talking right then. He was saying, in those last days. And a lot of times you hear that in the Bible. Let me just say this, just for understanding. He said, in the last days, you hear that a lot. And when it says that, I want you to recognize that he's talking about in the last days of the old covenant. You see that? Jesus, that was 2,000 years ago. I want you to get that. 2,000 years ago. And he said, in the last days. Now listen. And I want us to recognize this, because the one thing the enemy will do is for us to recognize and feel like there's nothing we need to do. We just need to save and get to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the enemy wants us to do. Because what do I need to do then? I don't have to grab hold of any authority. I'm just saved. I'm saved. I'm good to go. That's what all the church has done. They've just, well, I'm saved. I'm good to go. Yes, that's great. That's awesome. But yet there's something more to understanding. That we're vibrant. We're alive. That we're called for something more than just going to heaven. Amen? So, and he says, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, he says, in that last day, he says, I want you to recognize that when I went on the cross, he says, in those last days, he says, this is what's been given to you. Not some other day, but for every one of us today. If any man thirst, this is in John 7:37. If any man thirst. Who? Any. Men and women. Let him come unto me and drink. And he says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he the Spirit, they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That was to come, that when he rose and he was resurrected, then that was that opportunity that you receive Christ, the Spirit of God in you, and it flows out of you like living waters. I want you to hear this and understand something, that there's people out there that needs touched by God. And what is he saying? How does it flow? Out of you. We put so much on God, and he's done. He's finished. Jesus was at the cross. He says, I'm finished. I've done my work. Now it's your turn. I've given you everything you need. You got to recognize and know that I flow out of you. That I want to flow out of you. I've given that authority. That, listen, that I flow out of you. That those that are hurting, those that are lost, that they touched, that are dry, that are broken, that have no hope, have no purpose, that when they get around you, hallelujah, when they get around you, when they get up against you, when they just touch you, when they experience your presence, because I'm in you. Come on, amen. I want you guys to know that I'm not talking about anything that we have, but what we have in Jesus Christ. He says, when they get around you, when they rub up against you, it'll be like when Jesus was walking, they said, there's something about him. He has some kind of authority. That's what they, even the people that hated him, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they recognized it and they said, he talks with such authority. You don't have to like me, but I want you to recognize the authority I have. Come on, amen. They don't have to like us, but they recognize, what is that authority? And that authority doesn't come from, I'm not talking about, shut your mouth. Do what I say. No, I'm talking about the authority that flows out of love. Hallelujah. That love that comes from the Father, that comes upon you, that you get around somebody and all you could do is hope and dream and live and have this purpose inside you and a peace that comes upon you that you just want to be around those people. When you're going through devastating times, you just want to be around them. Come on. I want people to run to the house of God, that they feel this refuge, that they feel this hunger, that I want to get in the house of God. What is it? It's coming out of you. It's not a message that I preach. It's you. Hallelujah. That's what I was so encouraged about Saturday night, was that, more than anything else, was that people recognize, oh, Pastor Chris, you preach. And I do. I God gives us great words. But what you guys all said was whether you recognize that love, that power that you experienced. Come on, amen. That you recognize that there's something about that, hallelujah, that you feel. That love. And that's what's powerful. And that's what I want us to see that. But here's what I want you to share, that is what we need to let Him do. We need to let Jesus appear. And just dwell on that. And I began to look in it's funny how that I was looking, and I'll share that Friday night, but I kept looking, and I was reading, and I'll just share this with you, that, and I said this Saturday, but I'll say it again, but I was reading Timothy. I read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I kept reading it, and I sat down, and I called Apostle Valentine in South Africa. First of all, I called him on the phone, and he wouldn't answer. And then I called him on Facebook, you know, FaceTime, and he answered. And I said, oh, you didn't answer. He says, I won't answer. He says, I want to talk to you face-to-face. I said, okay, I'm sorry. He said, that's what I told you to. So I said, okay, I'm sorry. So he's looking. I said, well, I was kind of rough of a beard. He says, that's okay. He says, I'm rough too. But and the first thing he said to me, he began to share with me, he says that God began to speak, that we find Timothy's in the church. And I'll share more about that later. And that's what I was reading, Timothy. And it blew me away. Because what Paul began to tell Timothy, and all these scriptures are from Timothy, is this. Listen. 1 Timothy 4:10. I really like this. Because we kind of just blow over this and don't recognize what it was. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of exception. It's worthy of approval. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. He says, who is the Savior of all men? All men. He says, especially of those that believe. He says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Let me keep going. And be an example. He says, be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversation and in charity and love, in spirit and faith and in purity. He says, till I come. Listen, I want you to hear this. We always narrow it down to some other time. I believe in a literal appearing of Christ. I'm not saying, but I want you to understand. Sometimes we take the word of God and we put it in a box. No. That's dangerous to do, because God doesn't stay in boxes. Amen? Listen, he says, I'll give you an example of that. The Word of God became flesh, blew out of the box. It wasn't just going to be on paper. Come on, amen? It became flesh and walked around. It was born in the earth, and His name was Jesus. All right. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to teachings. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Don't neglect that authority that's within you, which was given to thee of a prophecy and laying of the hands and by the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon them. Just dwell on them. Just think about these things. Just like tonight, that you take the word and you meditate upon it. You think about this word. Okay? And he says, holy to them, and that, he says, give thyself holy to them. He says that they profit, that profiting may appear to all, that the profiting of it may appear to all, that it appear to all, that in His coming there be an appearance. Tell someone, be an appearance. What is their appearance of? Christ. Listen, that there be an appearance of Jesus. That there be an appearance. Because listen to me, I want you to know the good things that I do or the things that the way that someone says, wow, that was just powerful. It's an appearance of Christ. The way that you feel, that someone says, man, I just want to get around you. What? It's not Chris. It's Christ. Come on, amen? You see, that's what it is. That I just want to get around you. I want an appearance of Christ. I got people that whenever they're in diverse conditions and tremendous problems, who do they call? Not the Ghostbusters. No, they'll call me. Come on, they'll call me. And that's okay. Because why? Because they want an appearance of Christ. Now, it's in a sense, it's an immaturity. We're in a sense where that they need to know they can call in the same God that I call, that He can appear in them. Amen? See, that's the powerful thing. See, that's what pastors need to do. They need to know there needs to be an appearance of Christ with you, that you can let that appearance show off to others. Come in. Amen? That you can let Him show up in the midst of your tragedy. You can let Him show up in the midst of your storm. You can let Him show up in the midst of a flood. Here there be an appearance of Christ. But what we do sometimes, we let there be an appearance of our flesh. Fear, doubt. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. There it is. Stir up the authority. Say authority. Which is in you. Which is in you by the putting of laying of the hands. There's something powerful. I want you to get this and know this. Because here's what's the understanding. Listen, it's not about that person, but it's the appearance of Christ in that person of laying on hands. There better be an appearance of Christ in a person that lays hands on me. Because if you're an appearing like Christ, don't lay hands on me. Because whatever that is, if that is, there'll be an appearance of something and it won't be Christ. So you got to be careful with that. I want you to know that. Know who's laying hands on you. Because there's something all through the Bible. We could take this and I could break this down to you about laying of hands. And it's powerful because they would lay hands on all the way through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. They laid hands on the elders. They laid hands on those. And there was an impartation of what was in them. Come on, amen? So the only thing I want you to impart to me is Jesus. Because people impart things. We got to know that. The people impart things. And we have to be careful with that. Listen, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of your testimony of the Lord, nor of me as a prisoner, but be their partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And you say to yourself, what does that mean? And it means this, that listen, that we do go through afflictions. Here's what I mean by that. When you let there be an appearing of Christ. Because what happens is our old nature, our old self, the way that we used to do things, we're comfortable with the depression, we're comfortable with the old thing, we're comfortable with that, and we're to let Christ come is sometimes it feels like there's an affliction. It feels like you're going against something. Come on, you are. Because you're going against that old nature that wars against you, that says, no, you're going to do it my way or the highway. Come on, we get in that old ruts, we get in those old places. No, I'm not going to trust, I'm not going to do this or that. And it's hard. And so there, sometimes it feels like an affliction. That's what Paul was saying. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to go through these things, to trust God. Why is it so hard to trust God? But it is. Why? Because it's the old nature. It's that old nature that tries to hold on to you. Amen? All right. He says, be therefore ashamed of the testimony. He says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, gifting, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the... Say it again. By the appearing... It's manifested, how? By the appearing. It's manifested by His appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Next. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Next. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against the day. Listen, I am committed. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. We need to. How do you get persuaded? You get persuaded by the appearing of Christ. Every time you let Christ appear in your life, come on, amen. Every time we begin, you become more persuaded. Something grabs you. Something connects you. Something's powerful. That's why it's so important for us to let Christ appear to one another. Come on, amen. It's so easy if you had a bad day. So you have this bad day, and what is the easiest thing to do? Eat it away. Now, what it is, or grab a beer. I know, trust me. I talked to a guy who says he confides in me. He says, "Yeah," he says, "man, I got to back off drinking. I want you to know why, because there's an appearing of Christ to him that he doesn't recognize." I never told him one time that he needs to quit drinking, he needs to stop. But he said, "Man," he says, "I realized that, man," he says, 12 beers a day is too much." He really didn't think it was that bad. And he kept saying 12 beers, and he said, "I realized, man, I felt like I needed that to feel good." See, why? You go back to what makes you feel good. We go back to that place where that maybe you find some sense of comfort. Because you do find some sense of comfort in that. You'll feel good for a little while. I'm being real. Why do people do it? If it's so horrible, why would people do it? I'm not saying it's not horrible. But get what I'm saying. Because it can make you feel some type of comfort. Why do people do drugs? Why do they put that in their arm? Because somehow it makes them feel something. They need an appearing. They need an appearing of something. So they do that. It's a false appearing of whatever that is. Whatever they do, there's a false hope, a false peace, a false joy, a false happiness that they have. But we need an appearing of Jesus. We need Him. And the only way we get that is by taking hold of His words. We understand His words and understand the authority we have, and begin to take hold of that, begin to walk in it, and begin to operate in that understanding. And when you begin to practice it, you literally begin to practice it. Because here's what I mean. We know we have practiced and practiced and practiced the wrong things. Practice the right things. Come on, amen. No matter what you do, whatever you get good at, you have to practice at it. You got to give it a shot. You're never going to hit the ball unless you swing. So keep swinging. So you have appearings. And then when you begin to have that appearing, there's an appearing, then appearing, then all of a sudden you become connected. You become strong. You begin to let God be God. You begin to let God arise. And you begin to recognize, wow, I don't want to miss any moment. I want an appearing of Jesus all the time. Amen? I want an appearing of Him all the time. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, He says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteous judge shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but also to them that love His appearing." Listen, there's a crown. Listen to this. I want you to get this. A crown of righteousness. There's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all unto them that also love His appearing. Paul loved the appearing of Christ. That's why he was completely persuaded of Him, because he let Him appear. What do I mean by that? Listen, Paul was the one that was in the depths of prison time after time after time, but yet put in momentum the power of the church, begin to put it in momentum, even though he was in prison. Why? Because he was contagious, and there was an appearing of Christ, and others were like, wow, I got to get a hold of this. So here he is in prison. Here he is in the depths of dirt and filth and coldness and chains and beatings and brutality. How could you be in love with that? You have to really have some persuasion in you to be in that love with God. We all use the scripture in the Bible, or whenever we're doing weddings. We do weddings and we say that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things can separate from the love of Christ that's in Christ Jesus, the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We talk about that. He wrote that in prison. How do you write that in prison? Why? Because he let Christ appear. He let Christ show up in the midst of that prison and overpower him and let this river flow out of him in that experience, in that moment, in that storm. That's powerful. That's what he wants us to experience every single day. That we are so caught, we're so persuaded by this faith, that no matter what comes our way, we can't be persuaded out of it. That's powerful. That's what the church should look like. When you have that kind of people in your church, when there's that kind of faith in the midst, hallelujah, there's an appearing of Christ showing up every time. You want to see Jesus? Go to Family Worship Center. See, that's what the Father's plan was, that you come here. Experience God. Not just a show. That you experience Christ. That there be an appearing. That there be an appearing right here. Every service. Every moment. And every day. Not just here. But it got to start here. It's got to flow out of this place. And the only way you do this is we let Christ appear. Let Him appear. Amen? Anybody got something to share about that? That's because honestly, that's what I have something wholly out of this thing, but I'm going to go into that Saturday night. But because I really felt that we were, that's where I wanted to take it to, right there. Amen? You okay with that? Like I said, all I need to say. We need to let Him appear. They don't know it. Amen. I can't either sing like that. See, we think that we might not have, well, I don't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything. We don't go by that. We go by the Spirit. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
I'm just going to tell you, you mean the world to me. You mean the world to me. All right? And as Jesus, go ahead. You just, yes, brother. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Just if you're in your Word, just take the time to read where Jesus was. Just look up the road to Emmaus. And it's so powerful because this is what happens with us, the church. And it's so powerful because, listen, after the resurrection, now we have the power for Him to appear in our, through our lives. Not just for us, but for everybody else. So as they were walking, they were talking to Jesus, having this, and they acted like Jesus was a moron because He was acting like He didn't know what happened because they were on their way and they're sad because they were disciples and they were like, and He's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Our Savior's dead. We don't know what to do now. Here's the Savior. But they didn't recognize Him because He was glorified. Amen? So here He is walking with them, and He walks for miles. But as He walked with them, He began to tell them about who He was. All the way from the Old Testament to present day. He shared the whole story that He never was gone. He was always present. All through the Old Testament. How He showed up. How He appeared. He appeared. Let me just give you one. He was with Abraham. Remember, when Abraham needed a sacrifice, a ram was caught in a thicket. That was Jesus appearing. It was a demonstration of the appearance of Christ. All through the Bible, demonstration. The cloud of fire, the cloud pillar that covered them, the rock that came and water poured out of it. Hello, it's Jesus. The type of Jesus. It was an example of Christ all the way through the Bible. An appearing. Say appearing. Don't stop letting Him appear. And as they walked, they got to their place. And all of a sudden, it says when they got in that they broke bread. Relationship. They broke the bread. And as they broke the bread, all of a sudden, their eyes were open. It's Jesus! And He was gone. He was gone. I believe that was so powerful for them to take hold of the same mind. I want another appearing. I want Him to appear again and again and again. Not just one time. Every day. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, God, Lord, that we just aren't waiting for one appearing, but God, Lord, we have the authority now to understand that there be an appearing of You everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask that in Your name, to God, Lord, for us to recognize, to take hold of that Word, and God, to walk in that authority, God, and let You appear in every area of our lives. Demonstrate, hallelujah. Lord, demonstrate who You are in every facet, in every form, in every area, God. I pray to God, Lord, that we step back and let You show up. And we step aside. And we give You glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.